And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, May 12th, 1:07 in the afternoon, otherwise known as the Sahara Desert outside. Temperature is at 90 degrees with a south wind gusting up to 47 miles an hour. It's a windy one out there. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And
did you hear that? Hear that noise?
What, the wind?
Yeah, it was South Dakota going by on their way to Manitoba.
Man, I'm telling you. Wow. And we were talking about this in our office that what kind of effect does this, I mean, a lot of freshly planted crops, you got 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts blowing dirt and dust all over. Are some of our farmers going to have to replant now?
So we haven't introduced you yet, but I'm going to ask our assistant ag director intern today, Haley McLeod, to help us answer that question. So I have some answers. And Haley, I'm going to ask you, what are some of the things we talked about before we got on air today that are going to be affected?
Some of the things we talked about were sugar beet plants. When they're starting to come up, they're just really little, and they look like those little helicopter propellers that fly in the wind. And those, if with the 50-mile-an-hour winds, if those whip out of the ground, those seeds, those plants are just gone for. You're going to have to come back and replant those all, which isn't good for anybody.
Not at all.
What are we talking money-wise if they had to replant?
So it depends how much you have to do, right? Are you just doing a few acres? Are you doing a entire quarter, anything like that? Can you find seed availability? So I don't even think about what our cost is. I think about those things first. How much of an area do we have to replant? Can I find seed? How many beets were blown out? I did talk to some folks this morning that are agronomists and sugar beets, and they said, in some situations, they're still assessing that because there was some crusting that happened. So that means if you have that damp soil when we planted, and now we've had this heat and wind, it's formed a soil crust over those plants. It happens even in corn, so that now the plant is trying to leaf out underground, but it can't break through that crusting surface. And so you may have to go back out there and use some tillage to break it up in order to allow those plants to come through.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things going on right now. And it's that intersection of newly planted fields and heavy winds. We don't like to see it. I know I get phone calls from folks saying, well, we should stop doing so much tillage. Really depends on your soil texture and what you need to do in order to get into those fields. Because there are some fields that we do best when we have maximum or more tillage than we would with a minor tillage system.
And if we have any farmers out there that already, you know, oh man, we're going to have to replant now. We're going to give us a call, 701-293-9000. No cursing on air, please, but give us a call. Let us know what you're going through if you're dealing with these problems. But the good news that we have in the forecast is rain. Rain is on the way. Thank goodness. It's going to be a couple days, but we're finally going to get some widespread rain here in the eastern third of the state. So that's good news. But for the rest of today, it is going to be a hot, dry one with highs in the low to mid 90s. Record is 96, set back in 1900. South winds gusting over 40 and up to 50 in some areas. Then clear and breezy tonight, mid 60s, and another windy one tomorrow with winds gusting over 40. Highs in the low to mid 90s with a record of 95 tomorrow. Then Wednesday, sunny, breezy, but not as windy. Winds about 20 to 30 out of the south and highs in the upper 80s to low 90s. And then a good chance for showers and thunderstorms coming into the area Wednesday night, lasting through Thursday and into Friday. That's great news, but much cooler weather heading our way by the end of the week. We're starting off the week in the 90s. By Friday, we'll have highs only in the low to mid 50s. And then as we head into the weekend, yes, we do have a chance of some light frost Saturday night into Sunday morning. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And it's funny how the LRC, remember I said between the 10th and the 20th,
right,
the LRC predicted that could be our last frost. And the models weren't showing it up until even a few weeks ago. And lo and behold, sure enough, we have a chance for frost coming in this weekend. That's hard to believe after record heat.
No, this is North Dakota. And actually, like Don Kinsler with NDSU Horticulture was in with us last week, and he said he normally doesn't like to plant his garden until about the 17th of May.
Just in case.
Because of potential frost. So, yeah,
no doubt. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So hang on tight. We're going to get some much. And it looks like about 1 to 2 inches of rain across our area. And then we've got another. And here's the problem if you have to replant. Is we've got this wet system coming in, 1 to 2 inches. Then we've got another system Monday and Tuesday of next week, bringing us probably about another inch of rain.
Well, okay. And even if we aren't finished planting yet, and you've got to dodge rain showers to get that planted, you still have weeds that are growing. They didn't stop. So hopefully this rain, with the inch rain you're talking about, because notice I said we are getting an inch of rain later this week.
Here we are.
We're going to activate the pre-emergent herbicides that are out there waiting. And with any luck, we would then have the opportunity to catch up with some of that weed control, because if we have another rain system coming in shortly thereafter, we won't be able to get out and spray post-emergent yet. Ground will be soft. The wind's definitely got to go down. Today is not a spray day, and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's
you can't even spread fertilizer today.
No, you got to hang onto your hat kind of day out there today.
So you heard a voice early on today, and we haven't given her a final introduction yet, but we're joined by our intern for the day, and that's Haley McLeod from the Enderlin High School. Haley, introduce yourself.
I'm Haley McLeod, a senior at Enderlin Area High School. I'm actively involved in school sports, National Honor Society, FFA, and 4-H. And I live on my family's farm where we raise livestock, crops, and sell show pigs. I've grown up on the farm since I was born. And in 2020, I started my own egg selling business. And also during the summer, I show pigs all over the state of North Dakota. And after high school graduation, which is in almost 10 days.
Not that you're counting or anything.
Just a little. I will be attending NDSU to major in ag education with the hopes of becoming a high school ag teacher.
That's fabulous.
And Haley, what did you start up in 2020?
An egg selling business.
What does that entail?
So in the midst of COVID, we just got done with school and my cousin and I were sitting at our grandma's house and we got the chicken flyer in the mail and we told my grandma, we got to do this. And then she bought us 100 chickens.
Wait. Grandma is an enabler here right now. Grandma says, need to start? How's 100 sound? What?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened.
So you bought your grandma bought you 100 chickens. Okay, go on.
And then from there on out, we raised the chicks up, and every day after school, my cousin and I went and picked the eggs, and then we hand-washed them after school.
We spent numerous hours
doing it.
And then you sold them.
Yeah, to local members of the community.
Good deal.
These entrepreneurs beat the spike in egg prices. Right? They've been doing this longer. I mean, basically, you guys are experienced chicken ranchers now.
Yeah. Experienced, sure. But
yes. So that's a lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your idea of having additional off-farm income, if you will, really leads into one of the headlines that we have for today that's happening. And recent statistics that were released by American Farm Bureau tell us that so many farms are relying on off-farm income as part of what they do every day. And what are some of the statistics, if you remember, from that article, Haley? Any off the top of your head? And if not, I'll read them off for you.
One that really stuck out to me is that more than 3/4 of household incomes for farm family come from off the farm, so not even from the farm, which is a crazy amount. A lot of us know farmers, and 3/4 of them, just to think of that, seems like a lot.
So also, when you think about younger farmers in particular, beginning farmers, much more likely to rely on that off-farm income. 40% of farmers say they exclusively work on the farm, but only 20% of young farmers, and we're talking 35 years old or younger, that will say that they work exclusively on the farm. So that's a big step for people to get involved, but to have to manage all of that stress and everything that goes along with it. And that's kind of the case in your own operation, right?
Yeah, in my own operation, my mom farms full-time, and then my dad works at the North Dakota Veterans Home as a maintenance supervisor. So most of our income comes from my dad's and then also from my mom. So mm-hmm. We also have that balance.
Absolutely. And you have a number of farms where someone is making sure to be able to employed off-farm, because then you have health insurance benefits for families.
Yes, absolutely. I do have two younger siblings, so having that health insurance is definitely a benefit for our family.
Your kids, you fall down a lot.
Oh, all the time, especially being farm kids. We're into everything dangerous all the time.
Come on, they're pigs. They can't be that bad.
Oh, they can be pretty bad. You wouldn't believe.
I can't, actually. Most farm animals I've said on this show are jerks. So besides just talking with Haley, though, we have such a full slate today. We're going to continue to talk about what happens on farm and off. And then we're going to have a history lesson. We're going to be joined today by Beth Jansen. Beth is the executive director with Bonanzaville. And when we were prepping for the show today, I said, well, Haley, have you been to Bonanzaville? What's your favorite thing there? And your answer was?
I've never been.
So we have lots of great questions for Beth today.
Yeah.
We can talk about the history of the Red River Valley, why Bonanzaville exists. We can even talk to Bonanza Farms, which are something that this area was certainly built on. Wheat was king at that time in the late 1800s as Bonanza Farms really came to be. It wasn't just a TV show. There's a lot more than that. So we're going to go to our markets with the American Ag Network. And when we return, we will have the opportunity to visit with not only our intern, Haley, but also with our guest, Beth. And we'll be right back. Oh, technology on the farm. We've been talking about that off air. I have had lots of folks over the last few days saying they've had some trouble with monitors, et cetera, in their tractors. And if you are concerned about what that technology is doing for you and where your information is going, in particular through emails, et cetera, you're going to want to talk to Chris Sherman over at Tech Support Farm at techsupportfarm.com. He can help you out 24/7 because that's what Chris does best. He has a self-assessment tool on his website up and running. Go check him out, techsupportfarm.com. And if you have questions while you're listening today, we would love to have you call and join us, 701-293-9000. That is the JLA Insurance phone line. You can watch us, because I bet Grandma's busy watching right now, Grandma who's the enabler with the 100 chickens,
yes,
for our intern today, Haley. She can be watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV. You can find us at WDAY, Weather and Ag in Focus. And busy day with folks today, and that includes Beth Jansen. She's the executive director with Bonanzaville. So, Beth, I think Haley's probably got the first question. What do you want to know about Bonanzaville, Haley?
How did Bonanzaville all start? Like, where are the buildings from, and how did you really get your start there?
So, Bonanzaville is the Cass County Historical Society, which it was established in 1954. By another museum in town, basically, that wanted to not just be Fargo, but be the whole county. So we were established in 1954, but in 1963, when the fairgrounds moved from North Fargo to West Fargo, one of their board members wanted to gift property to the Historical Society so that it could become a pioneer village. That's the exact intent of what they wanted to do with that. And so we were gifted some property back in 1963. And then from there, we collected an assortment of buildings from all over Cass County and opened as a pioneer village in 1967 with 17 buildings. We now have 36 historic structures and about 41 buildings. So that's how we kind of came about.
So out of those buildings, there's several that I recall. I've been there. I've taken my kids there. There's the old saloon and hotel from Page. Mm-hmm. There is the Arthur Community Hall and Theater. Mm-hmm. The Hunter Times, which was the newspaper office where I live. Can you tell me, though, what's the oldest building on site?
The oldest building is the Fargo's first house, which was built in 1869 in downtown Fargo. It's the first wood. We know it's the first log building in downtown Fargo. It might not have been the first wood. There could have been some shanty-type buildings put up before that, but yeah.
It is a fascinating stroll through history on that lot. And as we were talking even beforehand, there's some farm equipment that's there that's very notable to the area. Steiger?
Mm-hmm. Four Steigers, yeah.
Four Steigers, mm-hmm. Bobcat?
Yep.
What else might we think about in the ag farm equipment realm?
Those
are the first ones that come to mind.
Those are the first ones that come to mind. I mean, we have a very large collection of tractors.
Yes.
We have an entire building dedicated to tractors. So there are steam engine tractors, I guess, cases. The oldest case that we have is probably one of the most notable of them, as well as just other varieties of equipment. Let's see here.
We even have the McCormick Reapers.
Yeah, the McCormick Reapers. And I think we have the first, we have like the first one. We have one of ones.
Yeah.
I mean, not like the original first one,
right,
but one of the
first produced.
It's wood, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's probably one of the more notable items as well. And then we have odd miscellaneous things. Like we have the largest, in 1970s, largest bulldozer, which has nothing to do with egg, but it's in the egg building.
Oh, hold on. So. But it does.
But it does?
Bulldozers still have a lot to do with egg.
Okay,
even
sorry.
Even in today's realm.
Correct me, because so I'm not the egg person.
That's okay. I still consider those part of it.
And Beth, do you have a steam engine out there, too?
We have steam engines, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Who maintains everything?
A lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
4 full-time staff and a multitude of part-time staff.
Oh, goodness.
And it's a lot of work, yeah.
When you walk into the equipment building, by the way, it just smells like old oil.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's one of my favorite smells, actually.
It really can be. Now, besides the buildings that I named, what are some of the other things that you have as far as building sites, et cetera?
So we represent about 18 townships, 18 towns, and 5 different counties, actually.
Okay.
So there's... the Mayor Medical Building actually came from Moorhead.
Ah.
We've got Martinson Cabin, which came from Pelican Rapids.
Okay.
And then we've got a multitude of Cass counties. We've also got some replicas. So like the Cass Clay Creamery building that we have on site is a replica.
Oh.
Creamery. Mm-hmm. And then the land bank is a replica.
Okay.
The land bank is a replica from a land bank in Sargent County.
So, okay.
Yeah, so there's more than just Cass County. It was established that way, but we've definitely branched out.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, so some of the other things that we really focus on as we go out to Bonanzaville are the Bonanza Farms. Mm-hmm. And so with those Bonanza Farms, do you want to start in a little bit of the history of how that evolved? Or is there anything you want me to start with there and we jump in?
Well, we can just go back and forth, I guess.
Yeah.
So really like to stress is that we just recently redid our Bonanza Farming exhibit.
Oh.
It opened on Saturday.
Oh, nice. Yes,
it's called Empire of Gold. We also redid our Founding Fargo exhibit as well, and that's Iron Rails Prairie Dreams is what the name of the exhibit is. So both of these exhibits just opened on Saturday. So come on out. They're brand new. They're in our permanent exhibit space. They're going to be around for a long time. Bonanza Farms, actually, it started thousands of years ago because basically the glaciers that came through this part of the country that came through the Red River Valley created such fertile soil that it became a great place to farm. And then in the 1860s, we had the westward expansion caused by the Homestead Act, which gave 160 acres to somebody that would live and work that land for 5 years. And then the railroad was going to go bankrupt. So the federal government gave them a ton of acreage to be able to turn around and sell for a profit. And so you add these things together and all of a sudden Eastern businesses were coming out to North Dakota and to the western part of the United States to buy these huge properties and make these, I kind of consider them the first corporate farms.
Yeah.
And that anywhere from 3,000 acres up is basically what the size of them were.
Yeah, they had investors that were a part of them. Mm-hmm. They had farm managers that ran them. A lot of towns here were built on those places. You know, if you think about the cities of Chaffee, Amenia, mm-hmm. Grandin, most of Castleton, there's a lot of places that derive from them because they were literally the farm town to get them started. Mm-hmm. All right, so... Haley, we probably have some more questions coming from you. We certainly want to hear from those who are listening as well. And again, you can reach us on the JLA phone line, 701-293-9000. We will return after the news and continue our discussion about Bonanzaville. Well, thankfully, before all of this wind blew in, Dean and I got our wheat planted last week out at the Jamulin Farm. And thank you to ND Estate Services, where it is their job to take a complicated process and make it simple for you and your family. They will help you to avoid probate, protect guardianship, save taxes, and much more. He is one of our sponsors. Contact Mark at 701-318-0908. And then also to Thor Building Systems, because the list is growing for projects that they need to complete. And if you want to get on that list, whether it's at the lake and a shop for your equipment, livestock buildings, and more, Postframe Construction is tailored to your needs. Check them out at thorbuildings.com. Full house today in the studio as we get to visit not only with the executive director of Bonanzaville, Beth Jansen, but then also our intern for the day, Haley McLeod. She's here from the Enderlin High School. I was going to say FFA chapter, but it's more than just FFA. It's the high school.
Yes.
Okay, so we've been talking about Bonanzaville, and you had some questions as well. So please don't be shy.
Yeah, so I was wondering, we were just talking about a couple of your events. Do you want to highlight some of the more popular events that you guys hold throughout the summer or throughout the year?
Sure, absolutely. Well, we start our season with a veterans event here in May, a veterans celebration, and that is invites veterans out to Bonanzaville for a free admission as well as dinner, band, and a speaker. And then we move into our free day, which is June 14th, and that's free admission to anybody in the public.
Mark your calendars.
Yep. Come on out. Good time to come and check us out. Then we move into 4th of July, which has been happening for many years in West Fargo, and we have a carnival day planned for that. This year, that admission is free as well. Thanks to an amazing sponsor, Jordal Custom Homes. Gotta plug them, of course. Then we move into, then we're quiet for like a little over a month, which is kind of nice. And then we have our Pioneer Days in August. That's August 23rd and 24th. And that's been around since 1971.
Okay. So I've been to Pioneer Days. Mm-hmm. This is like going back home for your town's centennial or 125th mm-hmm. celebration, right? So, I hope you still do these things, but there was ice cream in the little creamery there, pie in the church social at the church. Notice I know where all the food highlights are. But then also all the displays that go with that are open and a chance to really stroll around.
There's displays. We have tons of different demonstrations. We have butter making in the creamery now.
Oh, fun.
And so you can make your own butter, and then, of course, you get saltine crackers to eat with that.
Trade them some eggs, Haley.
Absolutely. come out and trade for eggs, and then there's just like a ton of different we have open fire pie making. You might really enjoy that because you get to sample those as well. And a sawmill and threshing and broom making and the lefse making and Coogan making. And you get to sample both of those as well.
Somebody has to.
Yeah. And then we do a pancake breakfast on the Sunday. That's been new in the last couple of years, and then it flows into a church service.
Nice.
So it's a whole weekend of fun pioneer type things to do.
So some of the things we also talked about coming up with within the buildings that I didn't know, and I like to think myself a bit of a history geek. You mentioned some of the buildings are not what they seemed to be when they first got there.
Right.
So a little
right.
history, if you would.
So the courthouse, our court building, it was never a real courthouse. The furnishings inside of it are. They came from the 1906 Cass County Courthouse. However, the building itself was a one-room schoolhouse, and I don't exactly remember where it came from. I want to say possibly Tower City. It was a one-room schoolhouse that would, you know, that's how it came to Bonanzaville, and then it was turned into a courthouse. The drugstore.
Yep.
Same thing. That was a hardware store. And it was when it came to Bonanzaville, it was turned into a drugstore. So even so, you have our Pioneer building, the Pioneer telephone building is mm-hmm. actually also a building that was a different building. Obviously, because it's a phone museum, but it's a historic building as well. So we've got multitudes of historic buildings that are even just not serving the purpose that they originally did.
So you have some planes. But they're mm-hmm. different than what you're doing, or that what would be done up at the Fargo Air Museum.
Right.
One of them used to be one of the governor's plane, I thought. Is that the one? Is that a DC-9 or DC-6 or something?
Yes. Yep. It's a... DC-6 sounds about right. You can walk in it and stuff like that, but yes.
Okay. But when you walk in it... Okay. Hold on. When we all of us board a plane right now, it's all level, right?
This is not level.
No,
mm-hmm.
no, it is tail in, tail down, because those planes didn't level out when they parked on the ground.
Yep.
So you literally have to climb through that to get to the cockpit.
You walk up.
It's wild.
If you've got vertigo, don't go in it. No, I'm serious. It's like it is. You get dizzy when you're trying to walk up to the front of it.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat. But there are planes, cars.
Gliders.
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about... just this region and how we built agriculturally, all those things came here slowly, right? When you talked about the telephone building, the Bonanza Farms, one of the first ones to have telephone was the Aminia Chafee Farm, because that farm, they saw that at a World's Fair and thought we should have that for all of our outposts.
Yep.
So that was mm-hmm. a whole reason to bring it to this region. also Mr. Chafee.
Yeah.
Do you remember his story?
Well, his sons, actually. Yes. So his son Henry and daughter Carrie were coming back from England mm-hmm. because their first grandchild was being born. And they got on a ship that is pretty renowned. It's the Titanic. So only one of them made it back. Carrie yes. did make it back. Henry did not. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting yes, history lesson.
That's Cass County's connection to the Titanic.
Absolutely. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. I did not know yep. that.
So other things that come to mind, Haley, we've been chatting away over here. What do you think about the whole place and questions for it?
Since I've never been, are all of the displays open like in the summer, or how could I go look at all of the interesting history that it has to offer?
So we are open 7 days a week, May 1st through October 1st. October 1st, we are our main museum, which with a lot of our inside displays are open on weekends. So if you want to see everything we have to offer, come in the summertime.
But not before, oh, summertime, but during yeah. the school year.
Oh, yeah. I always
wait till the afternoon.
Yeah, I tell people, I tell people if you're coming in May, make it after 2. Yeah.
Because that time.
We have about 74 school districts that come through, schools that come through with kids age usually 3rd and 4th grade.
That's a lot of traffic.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of Excedrin.
And yeah, well, kids are so excited to be there. They're running all over the place.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of ground to cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many acres are you
we
on?
We have 12 acres.
Yeah, and it's crammed in there. It's pretty tight. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly things you don't necessarily want to touch. You know, I wouldn't just pick my way through the blacksmith shop without paying attention.
No. Yeah, we recommend not touching things.
Yes, I think that's probably best. Other things, Haley, if you wanted to ask, you certainly can.
Where do you get your information? Like, most of this is based off of Bonanza Farms from the people in the area. Is it from museum?
We have to do a lot of research, and a lot of the research that you guys would do, Wikipedia is not our friend.
Good to know.
It's generally not something we consider necessarily accurate because too many people can edit. But if we find something there, we'll have to go search it someplace else. But a lot of research, the North Dakota NDSU archives, verbal history that we've been told by people. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of research is how you figure out what's going on.
How about donations? Are there things that you are looking for specifically?
So specific items is very small window. Okay. We are looking for things that are very relevant to Cass County and in very good shape.
Okay.
So if you have an item that's in really good shape, whether it's you know, a baby carriage, for example, and it's from Cass County and you have a story to tell with it, that's something that we would, you know, accept. We're not looking for, we just have a very, very large collection, roughly around 400,000 items. And so we really are slimming that down to what we continue to take.
Oh, I bet there's only mm-hmm. so much.
Yep.
So my family didn't know what to do after my dad passed away. He had a grain kicker. So if you think about this as at the elevator, I don't even know if you would have seen these, Haley, as you've gotten old.
Probably not.
Okay. So they really used to be like a sorting machine. You dumped the grain in the top and it came through different screens and sieves and it would take out chaff, stones, dead grasshoppers, you know, things like that.
Yep.
And would count your foreign material. You could count out the foreign material versus the grain. It would clean it for you for the clean sample. My dad had one, and it was a little one. It wasn't very big, and we did not know what to do with that, and we brought it to Bonanzaville because that was something that you did not have in the little grain elevator
exactly.
there.
Exactly. That's the idea. If we don't have it, if it's something very unique, then, of course, we're going to want it.
Yeah.
But if it's and especially if it relates to Cass County.
Absolutely. But we might not need any more grain sacks, grandma's iron.
We don't need sewing machines. Yeah.
Oh,
that's one of the most common items that somebody's trying to give away is an old sewing machine because they are super cool. Yeah. But we mm-hmm. have a ton of them.
Yes. So they also need to be moved by a forklift.
Yes. Cast iron.
Basically. Oh, they're so heavy. Mm-hmm. Beth, thank you for being a part of all this. And but we didn't talk about Christmas on the Prairie.
Oh yeah, so Christmas on the Prairie is our Christmas event, and that'll happen December 6th. It's always the first Saturday in December, and we do a lot of what we do on Pioneer Days except with a Christmas flair. So we've got carolers running through the village, and we have cookies happening instead of lefse. We have wood carving, we have presents, we have a craft show, we have crafts for kids to do, you know, just a ton of different fun Christmas things that would have been done, you know, early 1900s.
Yeah. And, oh, go ahead, Dean.
No, I was going to just say, for those that aren't aware or that don't know, what are your hours for the upcoming summer season?
So in May, we are open 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 Sundays.
Okay.
June, July, and August, we are open 10 to 7. Monday through Friday, 10 to 5 Saturdays, and noon to 5 on Sundays. And then September, we go back to those May hours.
And where are you located again?
We are 1351 Main Avenue.
Okay.
Right by the fairgrounds.
Right by the fairgrounds.
So if you're going to the fair, what a great time to stop in.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, for us here in Weather and Ag and Focus, all of the things that you have agriculturally to represent how this region developed makes such a difference. And it tells a great story, not only of what happened on the farm, but the innovation. When you think about Steiger, Bobcat, and so many more companies mm-hmm. that have built in this area because of its agriculture. So that's been tremendous. If folks would like to peruse your website, where's that?
Bonanzaville.org. Can't right. get much simpler than that.
I'd say that one's pretty good. Thank you, Beth. We've got more headlines, some more weather to talk about. And for those who are listening, and if you think, I might want to do an internship like Haley's doing today, you certainly can reach out to me, ag@flagfamily.com. I would be happy to share the application with you because we'd like to see kids working with us all the way through the summer and into the school year. So we'll be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Monday, windy Monday afternoon. Temperatures 91 degrees here in Fargo, but even close by, Gardner's at 94, 94 at Hillsboro, 94 in Grand Forks and Warren, Minnesota, and 91 in Wahpeton. Up and down the valley, that's where we're seeing the hottest temperatures right now. And if you ever had somebody say, you know, we love Arizona because it's a dry heat. Well, we've got that here today. 17% humidity.
Whew. Which actually isn't, it's not as great as you might think. Because when you have such dry conditions, it's like kindling out there, right? We were talking mm-hmm. on break. Beth even said, you know, she worries about her vintage buildings because those are all old wood. But you think about any dry material that we have in tree rows that haven't completely leafed out yet, some of the dry grass, that can easily ignite. When it comes to, if this continues, and when it comes to spraying, and I know I've said this before, if you're going to use glufosinate and you don't have humidity, it doesn't work as well. So those are some things to keep in mind as we go through this.
And hold off on the evening bonfires.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah.
Stop.
I saw a couple people in our neighborhood over the weekend. I'm like, I know it's a nice evening and you want to, but no, not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's not going to take much if one of those sparks gets out. And
nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stack of tree branches that you have in the backyard, maybe not light those up right now.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're sticking with the heat through Wednesday and then but what a difference a few days is going to make. So 90s today through Wednesday, and then by Friday, we're in the 50s, low 50s at that, Friday and Saturday. And as we transition to the cooler weather, we're going to see quite a bit of rain up and down the valley with an inch plus, a good bet. And we might even see Friday night, Saturday morning, a few wet snowflakes mixed in with the precip. Nothing accumulating, but we could see our last frost coming in here this weekend. Looks like Saturday night into Sunday morning.
These black soil fields are going to be like a blast furnace. There's no way snowflakes are making it to the ground.
I know.
Good Lord, no.
Yeah. But I mean, we were talking in our office that there was a meteorologist down in South Dakota. I think it's out.
Oh, are you talking about the one that that I saw?
Yeah.
I don't remember where he's at.
Saying that a large accumulation of snow over South Dakota and North Dakota this week. I'm like, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, one of our computer models did have 6 to 12 inches of snow, but that's just, you can't take that.
We've had snowstorms in May.
We have. Sure.
But our conditions leading up to it was not 94 degrees 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a whole different ballgame.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Speaking of a different ballgame, we're going to switch gears to a couple of the headlines that we have for Haley today. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about was, you mentioned the summer bonfires and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's summer driving season. Some folks are thinking about fuel prices And the EPA has issued an emergency fuel waiver on the sale of E15 gasoline. So that's gas blended with a 15% ethanol. They want to do that nationwide during the summer driving season. And as we talked about this beforehand, Haley, you brought up a couple of questions that maybe we should talk through. Do you remember what a couple of those were?
Yeah, the first question I had was, I was wondering, is there going to be enough corn in the U.S. to keep this going throughout the whole year?
Okay, so
good question.
Yeah, absolutely, because corn supply is always a big concern, right? And we just saw the WASDE report. There was a comment on there that U.S. ending stocks for corn were going to be low, meaning we're going to have low supply. Think of it this way. We're going to produce ethanol. We're going to produce quite a bit of ethanol. If we run out of corn, then we switch to gasoline, right? But we should have plenty to go around. Now, with Trump saying over the weekend that suddenly we have bigger trade deals, potential for a 90-day reprieve with China, will they put in a big order for corn? Maybe, but more likely, they're going to want to buy soybeans, pork. They're a big importer of our pork, as well as poultry. Get those eggs ready, Haley.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think as far as corn is concerned, we're probably going to be okay. And we are up corn acres right now because so many folks saw the soybean price this year and said, no, I'm going to plant corn instead. So I think we probably will make it okay on our bushels. I have no doubt, though, if the North Dakota corn growers are listening, they're probably going to let me know differently if I need to hear that. So, yeah. Any other questions you had with that?
Another one I had was, myself, I am a driver, but I don't always look for E15 at the pump. Are regular non-farming Americans also knowing about that E15 is year-round now?
I think that's a great question and probably a reason why we have to do a bit more promotion through the U.S. Corn Growers, National Corn Growers Association, and our state ones, because most of us don't think about that unless you have a flex fuel vehicle. But you're right, the promotion needs to increase. So that's a good idea.
Well, that'll do it for us today. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. We appreciate it. And don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.